1 Samuel chapter 25. We'll start reading in verse 23. We'll read down through verse 31. The last time we were in this series, our series Portraits, we looked at Nabal as a portrait of foolishness. Tonight we're going to look at Abigail, but I think maybe we need to kind of review the story just to make sure we all know what's going on, because our passage we're going to jump in toward the end. But as the story goes, David is still fleeing from Saul. He's, you know, running around in the wilderness, trying to stay alive, him and his men and his family. So he's found himself in the desert to the south of Israel. And then we're introduced to a man and his wife named Nabal and Abigail. They live toward the south in Israel. And the Bible tells us that Nabal is just, he's an awful man, right? He's horrible. He's a fool. So as David is there, him and his men have an opportunity to protect the shepherds and the flocks of Nabal that are feeding in the south. And then David hears that it's the time of shearing of the sheep for Nabal, which would be a time of real generosity and fellowship and feasting. So David sends a few of his men to Nabal and says, hey, very politely, not hey, but he says, would you be able to spare some food for us and give something to help us out? And Nabal's reply is very rude and disrespectful, and he sends the men away and says, no, I'm not giving you anything. I don't even know who you are. So that's his response. Well, David says, all right, I'm going to teach him a lesson. So David and his men are now coming to Nabal to take care of business and to get some revenge. But in our passage, Abigail hears about David. She hears about what Nabal has done. She hears that David is now coming to avenge himself of Nabal, and she goes out to meet David before he can get to Nabal. And that's where we are in 1 Samuel 25 and verse 23. And we're going to look at the idea of forgiveness this evening. So here we are in 1 Samuel 25 and verse 23. When Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, as they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. A portrait of forgiveness. Let's pray as we begin. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight even as we think about forgiveness, we're just reminded of how much you have forgiven us. And Lord, we're thankful for what you have done for us and for your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness toward us. Help us even as we think about forgiveness tonight to be willing to forgive as we have been forgiven. Lord, we pray now that you would work in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So one of the things on my to-do list for tomorrow is I'm going to take down the Christmas lights. We were pulling out of the driveway this evening, and Matt goes, when are we going to take down the Christmas lights? I said, we'll do it tomorrow. So that's one of the things that's on my to-do list. I don't put up a lot of Christmas lights. I do it real simple and very easily. So if you've seen our house, right, it's a raised ranch. So you have the eaves that go along the bottom. So I put hooks underneath. So I just run the lights from the plug on the hooks up over the door and to the end, right? Real simple. I don't even need a ladder. It takes me like 5 minutes. It's perfect, right? So this is what we do every year. But the past, like, maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, it was always this sort of hassle to put them up, not hanging them, but untangling them. Because we would have this like plastic bag with all of the lights inside, the lights for the outside of the house and the lights for the Christmas tree. And it was always you'd pull them out and then you try and like untangle them all and then like plug them in to make sure they work. And then it's us figuring out which strings of lights went outside and which strings were for the tree. We used to have a real tree and that didn't have lights. So we would have to try and figure out which ones. Some of them were like the soft lights and some were the white LED lights. And I cannot have two different colors like that outside. I can't have some be bright white and some be that soft white. It doesn't work for me. So I was like, I have to have. And it was this whole process of figuring all of this out. Well, about 2 years ago, it was coming up on Christmas time. And I'm getting all the decorations out and I pull out the lights and I see that there is a coil of lights in a bag that is labeled outside or outdoor lights. And I went, this is amazing. And it was Erica, right? You know it wasn't me. She had, when we put them away the year before, she was like, why don't we just make this simple? And we label the ones for the tree and we label the ones for the outside. It had never dawned on me before. It was always throw them in the bag and we'll deal with it next year. But for whatever reason, Erica was like, I'll help you out. And she had this wonderful idea of you just label them and that way you know, you keep them separate. And I really appreciated that idea. It saved me quite a bit of frustration and time. And you know what they say? The saying, behind every good man is a good woman, right? I looked it up and now they've adjusted it for the modern age. It's beside every good man is a good woman. But anyways, the original one is behind every good man is a good woman. But have you heard the end of that? Behind every good man is a good woman rolling her eyes, which probably is because we did not take their advice, right? We've decided, no, we'll just do it our own way, right? But sometimes we need to listen to the women that are in our lives and listen to the good advice that they give. And we have in 1 Samuel 25 this woman who the Bible describes back in verse 3 as a woman of good understanding. And she comes to David with some advice. And David takes her advice, and that's a very good thing for him. She's wise, she is smart, and she gives him this advice, you need to forgive. You need to not do what you're thinking about doing, and just let it go and forgive Nabal. And so tonight, we're going to look at Abigail as a portrait of forgiveness. I know technically David is the one that is forgiving, but I feel like Abigail deserves the credit in this story because it was her idea. This was her advice. So we're going to look at her advice this evening. And the thought tonight is, it's smart to forgive. It's smart for us to forgive. We like to think that we're pretty smart. Right? I think that's kind of the natural way we look at ourselves. Sin makes us do some pretty unsmart things. Right? It really makes us make some decisions that are unwise. Anytime we sin, we go, that's an unwise decision. But particularly for us tonight, the decision to live in bitterness and to live in unforgiveness, it's not a wise choice. It's not a smart decision for us. We think about Jonah, right? At the end of the story of Jonah, with all the mistakes that Jonah made, yet he ends in bitterness. He ends with him being angry at God for forgiving the Ninevites. And he didn't want that. And we have the end of Jonah's story of him sitting there upset and angry because he was not willing to forgive the enemies of Israel. It's not smart for us to stay there. Abigail comes to David and she gives him three reasons why it's smart to forgive. Three reasons why David would be wise to forgive Nabal, even with all that Nabal had done, even with how Nabal had treated him. She said, here's why it's smart for you to forgive. And there's three reasons. The first is this. In verse 28 and 29, it's smart to forgive because God will take care of them. God's going to take care of that person, whoever it is. So look in verse 28. She says, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. And here she is willing to take the sin of Nabal upon herself and like bear that. And so she says, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, even though she didn't do anything wrong, even though it was Nabal's trespass. But she continues and she says, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the soul of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. She looks at David and she says, listen, God's going to take care of you. Has the Lord forgotten to fight our battles for us? Or is it just that we've forgotten to trust him? We've stopped trusting God to fight for us. It's never, here's what she lays out. She goes, it's not smart for you to try and do something that God has said he will do for you. God has said he'll take care of you. And she looked at him and said, God has told you that he's going to sling out your enemies as out of the middle of a sling. She says, God has promised you that he's going to take care of your enemies for you. She looked at him and said, you don't have to do that for yourself. And David had already found that out with Saul, right? With the opportunity he had to take care of Saul in the cave. And he had backed away from that. And she says, listen, this is what God is going to do. You can forgive. It's smart to forgive because God is the one who's going to take care of all of that. We shouldn't take to ourselves what God has said that he will do. There's a man named Junior Bridgman. He played in the NBA for 12 seasons from 1975 to 1987, mostly with the Milwaukee Bucks. And now he is a part owner of the Bucks. And he's seems to be a very smart businessman, has gained a lot of wealth. And so he's part owner of the Bucks. But you can imagine now, right? He's sitting up in the box and he's watching the Milwaukee Bucks play. And he's remembering back to his days in the NBA, how good he used to be, right? And we've all been there. We were watching basketball games yesterday, watching our kids play. You're sitting there going, I could do it, you know, let me out there. But, you know, so he's probably up there in the box watching the team play, and maybe they're not doing well. And there has to be that thought of, you know, maybe I could go down there, right? He's old. He hasn't played since 1987, right? But you can imagine him going, you know what? I'm going to go down. I'm going to suit up and get out there and just do it for myself, right? Throw on a jersey. He's 71 years old. We look at that and go, that you're not going to be able to do it, right? It's not very smart for you to do something that someone else is better at doing than you are. And we can sometimes find ourselves in that place of where we're taking on the role of God in our life, who is our judge, he is our defender. And yet we say, well, it doesn't look like God's doing a good job. Why don't I take care of it? It's smart to forgive because we're letting God take care of that. We're letting God take care of all of that business, leaving it in God's hands. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Somehow, in God's way, in God's timing, he will repay. He says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It's smart to forgive because we can let God take care of them. But I also think, well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We need to be careful how we think about God taking care of people. Right? Because I've been using that phrase, God will take care of them. And sometimes that's kind of a saying for like, he'll knock some sense into them, you know? He'll get the pound of flesh that I'm looking to get. But in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, this should be our idea of God taking care of people. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. If we've asked God to help us love our enemies, it's going to change what we mean when we say, I'm asking God to take care of them. Because it says in that verse that those that curse you, you need to bless them, right? Say good things about them. We need to do good to them that hate us and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. When we think about a person that has offended us or done something to us in some way that has inspired in us a desire to get even, should we pray for their destruction, or should we pray that God would be merciful and give them space and time to repent so that they can get right with God and be reconciled to Him and then, Lord willing, to us? Sometimes we really want to pray for their destruction, and we really just want to pray that they would get what's coming to them. But if we ask the Lord to really help us love them as He loves them, it's going to change what we mean when we say, I want God to take care of them. Because it'll mean that what we want more than anything is their spiritual good. That's what we want. It might mean that we want their salvation. We want God to be merciful to them and long-suffering so that they would have time to get saved. And I think we need to be careful in our attitude toward people, right? That we understand that God is going to take care of them and we forgive so that God can do that. We're not standing in God's way. But ultimately what we're wanting is their good, not just our good. But it's smart to forgive because we understand that God's going to take care of everything, right? So Abigail looks at David and she says, listen, God is going to take care of your enemies. She says, I know you have Nabal, you also have Saul who's chasing you. She says, God has said He's going to take care of you, so just forgive. It's smart to forgive because God will take care of them. And we don't have to. Here's the second reason. If we go back to 1 Samuel chapter 25, it's smart to forgive because God will take care of you. It's smart to forgive because God will take care of them, but also because God will take care of you. So she tells him in verse 30, it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord, and she's talking about David, according to all the good that He hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. She reminds him of the promises that God has made that David would be the next king. God had made that promise to David, and she reminds him that God is the one who's going to bring that to pass. She says, God's going to take care of you. He's going to bring you to that place. And we know from Psalms that David knew that God was a God of goodness. We could read Psalm 23 and many others that talk about David's understanding of how good God is, and that God blesses His people. God was going to bring that to pass. And Nabal was not going to be able to stand in the way of God blessing David. Nabal wasn't going to prevent God from doing what God had promised to David. And listen, the people in your life that maybe you're struggling to forgive, they're not going to stand in the way of God blessing you. They're not the ones that are preventing God from blessing you. If anything, it's our bitterness and our unforgiveness that's really standing in the way of God's blessing in our life. But I bet for David in this moment, it felt like a really big deal that with all he was going through, now he has this man disrespecting him and this man treating him this way and him being very humble and respectful going to Nabal and yet being treated this way. It probably felt like an incredibly big deal to him to have to suffer this indignation and this humiliation at the hands of Nabal. But you know, if we fast forward a bit in David's life and we fast forward to David on the throne as king over all Israel, it really looks a lot less. It doesn't look as big a deal anymore when David is now the king of Israel and it's just Nabal down in the south, right? All of a sudden, it's like, well, it's not as big a deal as he thought it was originally. And God was going to take care of David. And we see that in the rest of David's life, that God had a purpose in all of this, and God was going to take care of him. And Abigail says, just forgive, because it's not going to stand in the way of God doing what He has promised to you. We can look at a lot of instances in Scripture, but just a couple. Abraham with Lot. Do you remember when there was that conflict between their herdsmen? So they decide to go their separate ways, and Abraham lets Lot choose first, and Lot chooses the well-watered plains of Sodom. He chooses the good part, and Abraham's left with whatever's left. And Abraham just goes along with it, and we see that it turned out worse for Lot and better for Abraham to just let Lot have it, right? To just let it go. We see that with Joseph and his brothers, that Joseph's brothers mistreated him, yet God still took care of Joseph. God took care of Abraham. God took care of Joseph. God takes care of people, and the actions of other people will not prevent God from doing what he has said that he is going to do. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. The actions of other people don't stop God from blessing you. What stops it is the sin in our life prevents God from being able to bless us. So Abigail looks at David and she says, you know what God has promised. Just forgive. It's smart to forgive because God's going to take care of you. You don't have to take care of yourself. God will take care of you. But here's the third reason. In verse 31, Abigail says, it's smart to forgive because you'll never regret doing what's right. You're not going to regret doing what's right. Verse 31, she says that after it comes to pass that you are appointed ruler over Israel, verse 31, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. She says, you're not going to suffer grief. You're not going to regret letting go and just forgiving Nabal for this. We all have things that we regret in our life. Sometimes they're like small things. Eric and I went out to eat this summer without the kids. I don't regret that. So that's not what I'm saying. But I picked a restaurant. And so I looked through a bunch of restaurants and I was like, which one has good gluten-free options for her? So I'm looking through and I found this one. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I don't want to give him a bad review. But it wasn't great. So we go there and we get the food and it wasn't great. And we're sitting there eating our food. I'm like, man, this is our one chance, right? We're out without the kids. I could have picked a great restaurant and I blew it. You know, there was a little bit of regret in picking that restaurant. I was like, maybe I should have just gone with what we know, McDonald's. You know, McDonald's never treats you wrong. You know, we could have picked something else, but I had a little bit of regret picking that restaurant that we did not enjoy the food. Right? Sometimes there's small regrets and you just kind of move on. Sometimes there are bigger ones. But always, we're going to regret the sins we commit. We're going to regret the spiritual mistakes that we made. And Abigail looks at David and says, you know what you're not going to regret? You're not going to regret forgiving. You're not. You're not going to regret letting God handle this, leaving yourself and the rest of the situation in God's hands. You're not going to regret doing what God says. That's one thing we will never regret. I don't think we can underestimate the value of having a clear conscience, knowing that no matter kind of how the situation plays out, even if we take a loss in that situation, we can lay our head down on the pillow at night saying, I did what was right. I did what I know God wanted me to do. I followed the word of God. And even though maybe I lost out in that situation, yet I didn't because I have a clear conscience knowing I did what was right. We're not going to regret that. What we will regret later on in life is the years we spent holding on to bitterness and holding on to an unforgiving attitude. But what we won't look back on later in life and say is, I wish I hadn't forgiven him so quickly. I wish I really kept on to that poison and held on to that bad attitude about them. And I wish I just held on a little longer to that. No, we're going to look back and say, you know what? I should have forgiven quicker. Why did I waste time with that? Why did I waste time letting that infect my heart, that bitterness? We won't regret doing what is right. Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's what we're told to do, and we're not going to regret it if we just obey God. We just follow his word and follow his will. It's always smart to do what's right. Go with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 1, right at the very beginning. Look what it says about the people that do what God tells them to do. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to wish I had done differently. I'm not going to regret it if I just obey God. And Abigail looks at David and says, just do what's right and you're not going to regret it. It's smart to forgive because we will never regret doing what's right. So Abigail comes to David. She meets him before he gets to Nabal, and she lays out this whole argument before him. And she convinces him to forgive. She says, listen, God will take care of them. God will take care of you. And you're not going to regret doing what God wants, doing what's right. And Abigail really proves that she is a woman of good understanding. And I think for us, as a general rule for men, it's smart for us to listen to the women in our life and to take their advice. Probably save ourselves a lot of time and effort and energy. But I don't want to leave you with, this is just the advice of a very smart woman or a woman of good understanding, because it's more than that. It's what God tells us to do. And that's ultimately what it comes down to. Yes, we look at Abigail and go, she knew what she was talking about. She was right in all of this. But it's more than that for us. It is that this is what God tells us to do. And in Proverbs 1 and verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. A man of understanding listens to the wise counsel of Scripture. There is probably part of us that wants to hold on and not forgive. But God says, you're going to be smart. If you're smart, you'll forgive. If you're a man of wise understanding, you're going to listen to what the Bible says and just let it go and let God handle all of that. And it could be tonight that there is someone that you know you need to forgive. And maybe there's a name or a situation that God's brought to your mind and put his finger on and said, you need to deal with that. You can't hold on to that anymore. Are we going to be smart tonight? Are we going to be wise and let God take care of that? Well, we just have the faith to trust God with that situation and say, I'm not going to try and control it. I'm not going to try and get even. I'm not going to try and hang on to this and let it poison my heart and affect my relationship with God. I'm just going to forgive. That's what we see in David's life. That's what we see in Abigail's advice. That's what we see in Scripture, a portrait of forgiveness. And we understand, listening to all of this, listening to Scripture, that for us, it's smart. It's wise. We're people of understanding if we just forgive. Let's close with prayer.